When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
My colleague and friend Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Gunfire in Israel in these last hours. Three Islamic Jihad gunmen killed by undercover forces in Northern West Bank, Times of Israel. Police say officers sought to arrest suspects, but they opened fire from the vehicle south of Jenin. We welcome Brigadier General Yossi Kupferwasser, reserved, director of the Project on Regional Middle East Developments at the Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs. Yossi, this looks like a random event, but that's what a lot of this violence has looked like these last weeks. Is there an organizing principle? Is this intifada, or is this just individuals with guns in their pockets? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Malcolm. It's neither. It's not yet an intifada because this is not a popular unrest, although a lot of Palestinians support the violence that we see performed by Palestinian terrorists. And it's not individuals carrying out terror attacks because much of the terrorism that we witness in the last couple of weeks or months even so is coming from organized groups. We have the Lion's Den, we have the Jenin Battalion, and we have still the Islamic Jihad, as was the case today, and the Hamas activists that were involved in the attack in Hawara, and one of them was killed, and the two of his sons were arrested one day earlier. So we have the organizations involved, and we have the individuals involved, but it's not yet an intifada. There's still much of the daily life in the areas controlled by the Palestinians go on without interruption. And what we're witnessing is an ongoing effort of the Palestinian terrorists to carry out terror attacks within the areas Israel controls in the Judea and Samaria territories. And we see an effort by Israel to prevent that from happening and to arrest and apprehend those who are involved in that. And this causes friction, of course. And in those events of friction, then when we have to enter densely populated areas by Palestinians, and face a lot of armed Palestinians who were shooting at the forces, these events end up with casualties on the Palestinian side. Fortunately, not on our side. But the casualties, of course, are used in order to encourage more people to take action against Israel. And all of that is happening while the Palestinian Authority is still committed to supporting this kind of activities. We see the Palestinian Authority paying salaries to all the terrorists who are arrested by Israel and to those who lose their lives. Their families get stipends. And of course, Hamas and the Islamic Jihad are very much behind it. And as well, Iran. Iran is supporting Hamas and is mostly even more supporting the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. And the area of the northern Samaria is known for a long time as a stronghold of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. So we see a lot of activities of this organization there, supported by Iran. And of course, the Iranians want to see as much chaos and terror as much as they can promote in this territory.
Malcolm?
So we have, first of all, 14 Israelis have been killed in these terrorist attacks. yet that doesn't get mentioned frequently in the media. But we do hear the descriptions of the attackers as lone wolves. And I think history shows that people are very rarely just to take such actions without some sort of at least incitement, connection to an organization, as you mentioned just now, Iran. So what is the source of it? Is it, are they independent cells that are operating? Do you see linkages between them? And the role of the PA, which admitted that thousands of their affiliated people, meaning Fatah people, were involved in terrorist attacks last year. Are they playing any role in countering it for their own purposes, let alone for the security of Israelis?
Well, as I said, some of them are lone wolves in the sense that they don't belong to an organization. But that doesn't make them really lone wolves, because they are motivated and incited by the system of incitement that the Palestinian Authority and the Hamas are operating. The Palestinian Authority incites them to carry out terror by paying salaries to terrorists. They incite them to carry out terror by their textbooks that call for, that support jihad and terror activities against Jews. And they create this state of mind of the Palestinian youngsters, that such those 13, 14 years old children that carried out terror attacks in recent weeks, they are definitely motivated by the incitement that the Palestinian Authority and the social media and Hamas, everybody turns against or turns vis-a-vis those youngsters. And no wonder some of them decide that they have to take action. I always say that this is like the popcorn effect. When you take when you prepare a bag of popcorn and you put it in the microwave, you can imagine that after a minute or two, after you turn the microwave on, some of them will explode. And it doesn't matter if it's popcorn number 10 or number 200. And that's exactly what's happened here. When you put all those youngsters in schools and tell them that they should kill Jews, eventually some of them will do that. And it doesn't matter if it's Mustafa or Muhammad. And that's exactly what we're seeing with these people. On the other hand, we have a lot of organizations that are involved in this terror campaign. And yes, unfortunately, some of them are successful in killing Israelis. And we had, as you said, the 14 and more than 30 in the last year, 14 only in this year. And that's a very saddening situation. Unfortunately, they are, as I said, supported also by Iran on the one hand. And what caused me more pain is when I see the Americans refer to the Palestinian casualties that are the outcome of these defensive operations that we carry out in order to foil terror attacks and to arrest terrorists. And I saw when Secretary Blinken was here, he was standing next to Abu Mazen. Abu Mazen started immediately to blame Israel for killing children and for practicing apartheid and so on and so forth. And instead of correcting him, Secretary Blinken focused on paying condolences to the Palestinians who got killed and cannot feel secure and are killed when they are approaching their worshiping centers, which is totally detached from reality. The more than 85% of the Palestinians killed are terrorists, and the rest are people who were caught in the fire exchange between Israeli forces and the terrorists that were trying to hit them. So it's we have to put things in order here and realize that what is actually going on. What Israel does is self-defense, and it's very punctual in hitting those who are trying to carry out terror attacks or shoot at the Israeli forces.
Yossi, we have less than a minute. Did the Secretary of State mention the money paid to terrorist families for their brutality? Did it come up in his meetings? We have 30 seconds.
I don't know what happened in the inner rooms, but when he was speaking next to Abu Mazen, next to Mahmoud Abbas, he didn't refer to that at all. He actually referred to Abu Mazen as a man who is committed to fight against terror, whereas in reality, Abu Mazen is the one who is right, insisting on paying salaries to terrorists and keeps doing it, and says that even if he is left with one penny, he's going to continue pay salaries to terrorists. And unfortunately, in the public session, Secretary Blinken had nothing to say about that.
Yossi Kupferwasser, Brigadier General in the Reserves, Director of the Project on Regional Middle East Development, Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs, Malcolm Hohnlein. I'm John Batchelor.